Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.
Happy new liturgical year.
Yes, happy new liturgical year to you, and Thanksgiving tomorrow as well.
We don't have it in Spain, right. But I remember Snoopy, Charlie Brown cartoons, and they would talk
Love
about Thanksgiving. And
So that was your exposure to it through
Before I came to this country. So the Spanish culture, when we have a big celebration, of course, food is involved. Then we would eat, it takes a little longer, and then it's what we call sobremesa. It means over the table. And you stay at table, and then you talk, and you drink coffee. If you drink alcohol, that's when you drink some after-dinner drink. And then it takes maybe 2-3 hours. So I was very impressed when in the U.S., when I first celebrated Thanksgiving or Christmas, that the food is consumed very quickly.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I was used to this. Very long.
Sometimes as fast as you can.
Yeah.
Tell me if I'm right or wrong in this assessment. So as an introvert, would I suffer through a meal like that? Or would you say, no, you wouldn't be exhausted from a lot of interactions?
Well, it's so much part of our culture that I don't think being an introvert or an extrovert has an effect on that. It's just very natural for us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to move now into, so this is the first Sunday of Advent. That's what's for a primary in our mind, at least, as we're recording this and looking forward to the new liturgical year. There's a lot we can talk about, but why don't I read the gospel first? And where is that going to be from?
It's coming from Matthew. So just a reminder that in the Catholic Church and some other Protestant denominations use the same calendar we use. We have three cycles. We couldn't come up with better names, cycle A, cycle B, cycle C. But we could have called this one, Cycle A, the Matthean. Matthew will be the main gospel. It doesn't mean that it's the only one, but it will be the primary gospel from which we get the readings for Sunday will be Matthew.
And as I often recommend, so now as we move into this new liturgical year and the Gospel of Matthew, it really is very helpful and worthwhile to sit down now and to read all of Matthew's gospel. It's probably one of the longer ones of the four Gospels, but really to sit down and to understand that context, it will really, really enrich your experience of coming to Mass so much more as you get that broader context by reading it ahead of time.
A reminder of what we said already at the end of our last episode, at the end of 146, we said that out of the four Gospels, this is the really Jewish one. This was the one that was most respectful with Jewish tradition, and the one that we think the writer had more knowledge of Jewish ritual. And also, because of the centrality of the Sermon in the Mount, it is about discipleship very much so. So that's a little bit of context for why and how are we reading Matthew this year.
So I'm going to read Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 44. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Let me just start. I think it's helpful to look ahead to all of the Advent season in a general sense. Again, this is helpful. This is truly a season to look forward to as a whole. 4 weeks of Advent. Isaiah is going to be the first reading, various parts of Isaiah. St. Paul to the Romans for 3 of the 4 weeks, and the third Sunday of Advent, a letter from James, and then Matthew's Gospel. But it's all about waiting. That's really the theme of Advent. And as we give thanks and anticipate the birth of Jesus as a child, more for us and more concretely for us, the second coming of Jesus, the parousia, mm-hmm. as we spoke a little bit about a couple weeks ago.
So we begin the new year the way we finished the last one, the same idea. It is about waiting, but there is an active waiting. And we've reflected about this before. It's probably the time of the year where the mood that the church is trying to get us into, it's completely in opposition with our normal mood, because yes, Thanksgiving, and then preparing for Christmas, and all this activity and all these Christmas parties that we have to go to, and it's completely in opposition with what the season calls for, the liturgical season calls for.
Right. I hate to say it this strongly, but I find this sometimes to be a really unpleasant time of year, because the church puts before us something so beautiful, and not just secular society, but even us as Christians, we get pulled into such hecticness, you know, a sense of hectic hurrying
and busyness, yeah.
and busyness and buying things. And I get a little disappointed this time of year. I've been more intentional myself, which is easier for me to do because I don't have kids and a family, and you know, I'm able to do this, but really to pull back and to really enter this liturgical season. And I find when people can do that, they really have to resist. They've got to resist what's going on in the outside world, but you're going to be so much happier.
Well, you know? One of the tools we as pastors, we can think of ways to combat this at the parish level. But see, for instance, one of the tools we've used at Sacred Heart is small groups.
Mm-hmm.
It would be impossible to organize a series of small groups meetings in December. I mean,
right.
It would be very, very difficult. So that's another one of the difficulties we have.
I just say all that in a sense to say that's so the opposite of what the church has called us to. And this really powerful image of one person being taken and one left behind. It's a little bit of almost like mystery, or a little bit of like open-ended as to why, what does that mean? Who is taken and who is left behind? Is that, it's not necessarily good or bad, but just that one might be more ready for the Lord. So is that the person left behind or taken? It's a little, it's an interesting thing to think about.
And Jesus will go against the idea that those things are predetermined. I think what Jesus is saying, that's the statistic actually. That if you preach about the alertness and the stay awake of preparation for Christmas, for the coming of Christ, you will find 50% of the people will actually embrace that, and 50% won't, or something like this. I think Jesus was very, very acute in his understanding of human nature. And I think that's what happens, maybe.
I think you're right about that. I'm thinking of the image of the flood as well that's used in the gospel mm-hmm. here. So it's used early in the gospel. And my quick reaction is, oh, it's like a surprise. But the reality is that a flood is not a surprise. I think the gravity of a flood is. So you know it's raining for some time, but you don't really know until a certain point how bad it is upon a city or a place here. And I don't have any sort of conclusions. Maybe you have more to add, but I just that image of a flood is interesting.
There were warnings, and Noah is the only one who does pay attention to the warnings, and he's the one who prepares and acts on it. And I think that's precisely the same idea that we need to convey for Advent. It really is a time to be focused and to stay awake and to be alert, and how difficult it is to do that in general, but especially these days in particular.
Right.
Sunday is the day of the Lord, and it's a family day, and it's a day for not only for church, but for resting. It's our Sabbath.
I think we can really learn a lot from Jews and even from Muslims, too, who really take time very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Muslims is this period of fasting, Ramadan, this period of fasting and an intentionality of what they do. But the Jews as well, especially this time of year, we share certain aspects of the calendar of the seasons with them, but take that really seriously. And you're right about that. I had one of my parishioners at Christ King was telling me, it was this spring, her son was in a baseball tournament, and the parents went to the coach and said, by the way, if this tournament runs on Sunday, he's just not going to be able to play.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're traveling. This is the only time that we can go to Mass. We can't go on Saturday because there's games as well. well. And so he's very calm about it, very charitable about it. And that really made an impact on the coach. And it all worked out in the end. But I'm very impressed with her for saying that and doing it in a kind way that also made clear what the priorities are. So there's some different directions to go here. I think we're left speechless because there's different things that we can focus in here the first Sunday of Advent. I just encourage our listeners to really use the season well, but start now in being intentional about it and slowing down and making this really a beautiful season. Start now. Here we are.
An invitation also to look at the first readings. That's when we focus on the prophets, Isaiah, as you said, in particular, the prophet of choice of the New Testament writers, and a message of, again, of radical following of Jesus Christ that was foreseen in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant tradition.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so next week we'll come together for the second Sunday of Advent, and here this season we meet John the Baptist already in the second Sunday of Advent and in his message, which I think is very similar here to what we've been speaking of, but he in a stronger and more prophetic way in that time. Yeah, how about we get together next week and chat about
that? See you next week, Philip.
All right, take care.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at catholicsingles.com. Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.